from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I have to say, I saw something within the last week, and I'm going to try and keep it as vague as possible because I was at a local establishment, and this is not on the establishment. But Ness and I went to a concert here in the last week, and it is down on the flats out by the aquarium. It's Nautica. I don't know why I'm being that vague about this. But we went to one of the bars down there who happens to have good pizza. And again, if you've been to this bar, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I'm not going to mention names because I don't want the establishment to take the brunt of this criticism I'm about to give out there. So we were waiting, and I'll be honest with you, I had decided I thought it would be better to get a couple pops in before I went to the concert, knowing what maybe the price of those are when you go to the concert. And so I got very familiar with the bartender and all the bartenders. And meanwhile, Ness can really own, she had her gallbladder out after our first kid was born, so she can have like a drink. And which means she gets very happy very quickly. But for me, I have the opposite problem in that because I am a large fellow, it takes a fair amount to get the fun going, as it were. But we had ordered a pizza, and every once in a while I would pop up there and see where the pizza was. And I can be a little tense because I like to be on time for things.
And
yep, that's fair. It quickly became apparent that was not going to happen. But every once in a while, I'd pop up. And something happened that I've never seen. And it happened involving adults. As I was standing over there, just waiting for an ETA on our pizza, so I could continue worrying about being late for the concert, even though I had no interest in seeing the opener. I just am that anal about being on time for things and have that much anxiety about being late, or honestly, even on time. There's a reason I show up about 3 hours before the show, 2 hours before the show, and a lot of it does have to do with my anxiety, making sure that I've heard every piece of sound. So anyways, it happens with concerts too, things you're supposed to enjoy. So I'm standing there, and there's a couple people around. They've got like a place where they'll put like a pizza. If they don't have time to bring it out, they'll put it up there. So if you want to go check if it's yours, you can go see it. And this is probably a middle-aged woman. I'm probably not too much older than myself and Ness, kind of gently breezes by, and she opens a pizza, and there's a guy who goes, oh, I think that's mine. And I don't think she heard what he said. And she just goes, well, it's not mine, but I've waited long enough. This woman, probably not knowing that the man, that it was his pizza, takes the pizza and walks off to the deck. I didn't know what to do. It was the most egregious. Like, honestly, this thing should actually, like, this should be a jail-worthy offense. Because it's not the fact, it's not the material value of the thing. It's that you have to be a royal a-hole to steal somebody's pizza. And it doesn't help that the guy was right in front of him. So the guy was incredulous. The guy was like, she just stole my pizza. And so the wait staff, who did such a good job, like, I made sure to go out of my way to tell them how good of a job they did. They were like, do you want us to give you another one? And he did have three other pizzas, so my man wasn't hurting. But they figured it out. I don't remember what they did. But on the way out, he went to the table right next to Vanessa and I. and he accused them of stealing the pizza because there was a blonde woman that looked very similar to the other woman. Here's what he didn't know. Like 15 minutes beforehand, that woman had sat down and said she had stolen a pizza that wasn't theirs. She said, I don't think this is ours, but I got sick of waiting. I saw two pizza thefts inside 15 minutes at this bar. And I ended up telling the guy, I was like, hey, man, it's that other blonde lady. And here's the thing. I thought, like, well, he already kind of took it out on that woman. He went supersonic on the other lady. Like, it was like Vesuvius.
Uh-oh, we got a fight going on.
We got a fight.
And I still don't think he got his justice. So I just want to know, is this something that actually happens? Do people do this? Because I'm a pretty pie in the sky kind of guy. Like, I also apparently rhyme just on a whim. But I didn't know this was happening out there in the world.
This happened to me just last week when we were all getting ice cream because I had ordered the same thing as another woman that was behind me in line.
Mm-hmm.
So mine came out because I had been waiting first and she just scooped in front of me and grabbed it. And the poor kid, he was a teenager and he just looked like deer in headlights. And so he just rushed and went and made another one.
Do you think she knew?
I don't think so.
Okay, because that I've definitely been in situations where two people order the same thing and different things, and that's awkward. But I think you can understand it.
I didn't say anything. I just stood there. It was like another extra 5 minutes, not even. Yeah. So,
I mean, I think you're okay to say something, right? I think you're like if somebody.
I just chuckled at her.
I feel like, because I believe communication is very important, and I believe that you have to stand up for yourself, but in a non-confrontational way.
And she had already taken a bite. What am I going to do? Say that's mine and take it from her?
Take the next bite, yeah.
I'll just spit right in the top of it.
No. You don't spit on that thing. No. You go ahead and take what is yours.
Now, this is my germs.
I am mostly kidding. Keith, have you ever had this happen?
I haven't seen that happen, but it sounds like that pizza place needs to just make it buffet style. Just make a bunch and let people take them as they go.
If they did, they couldn't keep it stocked. Seriously. Because the location is so choice that it was everybody going to the concert. It also happened to be a Friday, right? It was for the Avid Brothers concert. I don't know why I hid that fact. It was I'm worrying about the time of this. I got to say.
I would definitely speak up, though, in the pizza incident.
Yeah.
I would definitely speak up in that instance.
I kind of feel like if you're that kind of person, you're kind of the person that we think of when we think the worst in humanity. Because everybody was waiting for pizza. She was not alone in the fact she was... Actually, neither of them were alone and they were waiting for pizza. And so I actually think, like, the thing that I'm disappointed in is that first lady... I didn't go like, well, you didn't steal his pizza, but you definitely stole somebody's pizza. I almost feel bad because I would have double snitched because I did point him in the direction of the other lady. I just gotta say, you gotta be a real a-hole to steal somebody's pizza. 216-474-0092. Was that your significant other? And is she really that awful in person? Just if that was you, if you were in the flats at a very well-known local bar where they serve pizza. I just want to know. But we were talking in the 5 at 5 about Stephen Vogt's comments about Emmanuel Clase. And obviously, this weekend, there could be some relatively, I don't say easy wins, but this should be an easier series than the Kansas City series. But the rule is fine in baseball. I understand the rule is relievers very rarely ever win the Cy Young. For instance, the last guy to win it was Eric Gagne. And that was 2003. And Dennis Eckersley won it in 1992. Those are the last two relievers that have won it. I think it's appropriate that we average about once every 15 years a closer wins the Cy Young. I just think it's insane that Emmanuel's not at least in the conversation for people. I think Emmanuel Clase is having one of the best seasons for a closer ever. And I don't know why, because I think one thing that people have maybe discredited Emmanuel with is he's not striking enough people out. I don't think that should matter. I know, and I know, like, Eric Gagne, I think, struck out like 200 people in 2003. That's cool. That shouldn't be used against another elite closer. And I was looking over the stats here, and there really isn't. Like, Tarek Skubal, I think, is of Detroit, is the favorite. And we were, it's ironic that we were just talking about the record and whether team records should reflect in the Heisman. Because I also think if you say yes in the Heisman, we should probably say yes when it comes to team record in baseball. And if you say who's the more important player, what is the more important thing, Emmanuel Clase has pitched in more high-pressure situations in his, I think it's 60 appearances this year, than Tarek Skubal has all year in what is going to be the fourth-place Detroit Tigers. And again, I like Skubal. He's a nice pitcher. But he's not having a historic year. None of these guys are. There's plenty of guys having a really good season. But if you compare, because like one thing that is said, well, we're in an era where, of course, Class A stats are next level because, you know, he pitches an era that favors pitchers. Well, compare Skubal's numbers or any of the other guys atop the kind of favorites odds or the odds favorites for the AL Cy Young. Guys, there's comparatively, Emmanuel Clase is having a better season above the elite level of performances, even at closer, than Skubal or anybody else is having. And I think that's super important. Because if you say, well, you shouldn't be able to win the Cy Young if you're a reliever, if there's a starter that's having a great year. Meaning like a statistically dominant year. We're in agreement. We are. A elite starter having a 1.67 ERA with 18 wins and otherworldly secondary numbers. Yep, that should trump a closer with a under one ERA and 50 saves. That's not what's happening here. Like Chris Sale, sorry, I'm mentioning the wrong league here. Skubal's got a really nice ERA, and he is having a good year. 15-4, 2.58, I did that right, and a 0.95 war. Let's go to Emmanuel Clase's numbers. Guys, these are stupid. He's got 39 saves, and we're not even into September yet. His ERA is 0.58, and his war is 0.67. That's not elite. That is historic. As a matter of fact, if you put his numbers up against Dennis Eckersley or Eric Gagne outside of strikeouts, Emmanuel Clase is having the better season. I tend to hate regular season awards anymore just because they've been co-opted by groupthink and narratives, and nobody really thinks for themselves. And honestly, I kind of feel the same way about awards during games. Like, it just feels like, well, what quarterback won the Super Bowl? That's going to be the Super Bowl MVP. And I realize that some awards have natural biases in them. And in fairness, the starting pitcher bias for the Cy Young makes a lot of sense. The rebuttal is always, well, but closers have their own award, and it's the relief award. It's really not the same. The whole point of the Cy Young is to determine who is the best pitcher in that league. Not the best reliever, not the best starter. So with Emmanuel Clase, I don't need him to be the guy that wins it. He should be top three. And if you go to it, like if Skubal wins over it, oh, okay, all right, that's just kind of the way the game works, and I just have to accept that. But like beyond Skubal, there's really nobody else in the general vicinity. Ronel Blanco, Seth Lugo. If any one of those guys wins it over Skubal or Clase, I'd be infuriated. But my point is, okay, if you want to say Skubal should be the favorite, I'll take what Clase has done. Certainly, if I'm going to take it over Skubal, I'll certainly take it over the first runner-up who probably is going to get those next best amount of votes there. But I think there's one thing. Because, like, Eric Gagne in 2003, I said, I kind of exaggerated, it was 137 strikeouts. Class A, that's not what he's going to do this year. I think he's got 54 strikeouts. I don't know why strikeouts matter that much to Cy Young if we're talking about relievers, especially when we know that, like, if Class A wanted to strike out 100 people, I think he could per season. I think he prefers to, like, just be the best closer in baseball, right? I understand the importance of strikeouts. I'm not trying to diminish it altogether. I just think if that's the reason why people think Class A shouldn't be a Cy Young candidate, I think it's dumb. But I don't think it's strikeouts. I don't think it's wins. I don't think it's really. I think it's a combination of three things. I think if his ERA is still roughly at 0.05 or right around there, whether it's a little lower, a little higher, same thing with his whip, those two stats, and if he gets to 50 saves, he better be in the top three. Even if it's a distant third, I'll take it. But if this season is just largely ignored by baseball writers, I'm going to be forced to play the card I don't want to play, which is you either aren't watching Guardians games, you either aren't familiar with Emmanuel Clase, or you're just ignoring half of baseball. And I do think because the beat has changed, guys aren't going from town to town anymore, right? Like the beat has changed and guys are watching a different, they're watching baseball differently. I can understand why it might be easy to just conflate the greatness of Class A with the greatness of any reliever. Those numbers that I gave out earlier, 0.58 ERA, 0.67 whip, and 39 saves through 42 opportunities, and we're not even to September yet, that is historic. This is one of the best seasons a closer has ever had. And 50 saves is the magic number because only, I think it's 17 relievers have had 50 saves or more. And Eckersley and Gagne hit that mark when they last won the Cy Youngs back in 92 and 2003. So while we're on the topic of the Guardians, we've talked a lot about the three-game set and the importance of this. I'm stopping short of saying they should sweep the Pirates. But they should take a series win, and they should be, certainly by Sunday, in a position to sweep. That doesn't mean they'll do it. It doesn't mean it's fair to expect it. But you don't get a lot of gimmies left on this schedule. This Pirates game is about as much of a gimme. This series is about as much of a gimme as you have left. You've got, after this, you've got Kansas City, LA. You've got another matchup at the end of the season with Houston. There's not a lot of easier, none of the series right now are easy, especially if you're not playing your best ball. There are not a lot of...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Easier series left. And so this presents that opportunity. And I think it's funny, we talked about Guardians fixes, and I don't know, do you guys think the Guardians need fixed? Because I think I have a few things they could do differently. But I just continue to come back to, I think the Guardians have to stop beating themselves. And I think if you hear, and I don't, I talked about this earlier, if you hear that, you know, the veterans, at least the position players, took forever to speak to the media after Wednesday's win, and then, you know, I think it was Bo Naylor who came out and talked for about 3 minutes. I don't bring that up to be like accusatory of it, But I do think it gives you a bit of a mindset of a team that is stressed and pressing and maybe a little grumpy right now. And I think that's part of the problem. I think they have to stop pressing. It's not the rotation anymore. Yes, it is occasional Scott Barlow appearances, and the bullpen is not as elite as it was through the first 100 games of the season. Those things are fair. Some of those things are obvious. But I just think they have to stop doing the little self-inflicted wounds that they've kind of nickel and dimed themselves out of probably 5 or 6 wins in the last 7 or 8 weeks. So when we say fix, to me that implies that it's Stephen Kwan in the front office, Stephen Vogt in the front office, and they got to come down off Mount Pius and they got to read the Riot Act and they got to change everything for this thing to turn around. I know the schedule looks tough in September. I kind of think with just if they can just sustain the health level that they're at right now or maybe even get a little healthier and they just keep going out there and playing, I think this thing will run its course. And by the end of the season, you might be able to tap back into that energy and that focus and the good vibes that they had at the start of the season. And if they do that, guys, they can still win a World Series. If they do that, they can still just run rampant on baseball in October. Because there isn't, I know there are some teams playing well right now. Kansas City is one of them. There isn't one team that should scare the living crap out of you in the playoffs. There isn't. The Guardians might scare themselves in the playoffs. Because again, if you're going to beat yourself, well, you're taking yourself out of the equation. But 216-474-0092, at Nick Wilson says, I don't think the Guardians need fixed. But I mentioned earlier, the black hole that has become the two spot in the lineup. I don't think we've talked nearly enough about the importance of that spot in the lineup and how they just haven't been able to consistently get production out of that spot. And it will be a bit of robbing Peter to pay Paul if you move one of your best guys into that spot. But I think it's just time. I don't think you're going to help Lane Thomas by continuing to put him in the two hole, which is where he is tonight. Jimenez, who's got an OPS just above 600, I don't think he's magically going to put it together and suddenly become the two hitter he was 2 years ago. As a matter of fact, we need to have a whole other conversation about where the hell is Andrés Jimenez and will we ever see the guy that 2 years ago was an all-star? That has very quickly become a fading memory. And I have not heard one single explanation for where that is. But trying to rely on one of those two guys to magically figure it out, I don't think it's getting you any closer to where you need to be. And it just stands to reason. Whether, and by the way, I don't think it's just to the two-hole. If with Stephen Kwan struggling right now, if you really wanted to get desperate, if Stephen Vogt decided to put Hosey at one, I don't know I can really have all that much of a... I wouldn't do it. But I think Jose Ramirez, even though he has also pressed a little bit in this stretch of offensive ineffectiveness, I think he's been probably the best and most consistent player, even with those struggles. So moving Jose at the very least to the two spot and going Kwan, then Jose, and making sure those two guys are getting as many at-bats as possible a game, I think is a fix you could try if you're Stephen Vogt. Now, in fairness, he's tried him out at the two spot, but he hasn't kept him there. It's been, well, we're going to do it for a game. I don't really understand that. I don't know if Jose's beholden to the three spot, by the way. Maybe Jose has some sort of preconceived notion, and it's actually he just feels more comfortable there. I don't know. Maybe Jose feels he has a better chance to drive in runs with having two batters in front of him instead of one. I don't know, but there has to be a serious conversation if you think the lineup needs fixed, that the fix is start with a two-hole. And what do you do beyond that? Well, you don't bump up Josh Naylor to the three spot because he's not one of your best hitters. He's one of your best. He's a power hitter who has a lot of swing, a lot of hot and cold to his game. So I'd probably put Fry in the three spot. Kind of similar to what they have today, which is they're going Kwan, Lemonlaw, Lane Thomas, then to Hosey, then to David Fry, then to Josh Naylor. And then probably John Kensie at the five spot, or maybe that's where you finally put Lane Thomas. Maybe get him, maybe hitting behind Naylor, he gets a few more fastballs. I don't know. But I think that's one potential fix. I do wonder, because I've heard a lot from Guardians fans. When we talked about this earlier, bring up Kyle Manzardo. How many first basemen can he have on this roster? Because John Kensie Noel is a first baseman by trade. He's in right field because he has to be. David Fry has been a utility guy. I don't think David Fry is healthy either. But David Fry is a first base DH guy, smattering of catcher, smattering of outfield. Naylor, first base DH. You've already kind of got three guys on the roster, even with 26 spots on the roster, carrying four guys who their number one position is at first base is a bit of a risk. And I don't know that's the best utilization. I still think Manzardo will come up here when the rosters expand, but I don't know how much playing time you can really get him if you're trying to also keep the other guys in line. The Valera thing's fair. George Valera is a really nice player. He's kind of got a hot hand right now, and you need production from the outfield. I also like Andrew Walters. I actually think he's the best guy to bring up. I don't know you can bring up a guy in September and expect that guy to change your season if he's an everyday bat. Because there's so many different ebbs and flows that happen, especially for Valera, who, like, it's his first time in the big leagues. And I still think he should be here. I still think he should get playing time. But the idea that he can be the reason that you turn your lineup around or that the team gets going, I think that's negating the fact that you have, you know, nine guys playing every day that just need to do a better job. The Walters thing makes sense because you are effectively your one reliever short right now. And that reliever tends to be Scott Barlow, and you do miss Sam Hinches a lot as well. But I just continue to come back to the idea. If you're looking to the minor leagues to save your season isn't going to get saved more often than not. And I like Valera. I like Manzardo. I actually really wouldn't mind if they brought back Angel Martinez. I was not a huge fan. I know his numbers had dipped, but I was not a huge fan when he got optioned out. They've got a couple young bats that I really do truly like. Gabe Arias, I believe, still is alive and well and is, you know, I'll be honest with you, at this point, I'd rather watch Gabe back at shortstop than watch Brian Rocchio swing and miss another three times a game. But it continues to come back to the point, the guys on the roster. This is where I think when we talk about fixes, I think sometimes in desperation, things seem a lot more tenable than they really are. Or ideas seem, well, anybody's better than Rocchio. I just kind of espouse the theory with Arias. But anything's better than watching Josh Naylor overswing at every pitch. That's not true. A lot of those guys are not ready for that moment. And whether they've been to the bigs or not, I think you run just as much of a risk of ruining young players by thrusting them in the lineup and, oh, we need your bat now. I think that kind of pressure is not good for young players. The Guardians have half their roster who's been in the big leagues for long enough. Those guys have to get back to having good habits. You know how I know it's possible? Because they did it for the first 80 games of the season. 216-474-0092. Is there a fix you'd like to see the Guardians go with? I'm not sure they need fix, but I'd start with Hosey at the two-hole.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.